by perfect love, wrapped within the arms of heaven, in a peace that lasts forever, sinking deep in mercy seat. I'm wide awake, drawing closer by grace, and
That's exactly what we're going to do, ladies and gentlemen. Singing of love forever. That's exactly what we're going to do. Because what he did for us is forever. What God did for us is eternal. So our praise back to him knows no bounds. And it's like, it's not even like, I got to make sure I do that today. Oh, if I don't pray today, I'm going to be in trouble. Somebody said, wow, they are censoring at Rumble. No, Rumble doesn't censor. Rumble doesn't censor. It's your connection or your device or your lack of update or something. Or there's just an issue. Rumble doesn't censor. That I can tell you for sure. Even Truth Social censors, but Rumble doesn't censor. Now back to what I was saying. It shouldn't be like a chore. Shouldn't be like an obligation or a command. God does not command you to pray to him. One of the Ten Commandments isn't pray to God right now. That is a default desire that we have when we know Jesus. That's all that is. It's a default desire that we have when we follow the Lord's commandments and we know Jesus and he knows us in return. And it's a great thing. Like I said, it's not an obligation at all. It's like, okay, I get to talk to Jesus. So we'll praise his name forever. We'll praise his name forever. I want to read some of the chat here. USA Trump for Life says, praying for Julie Green to feel better. God help her out. Hey, Jeremy, when do you think you're planning the Ark? Next year. Let's go ahead and get rid of this Satanist in the live stream. Bye-bye. Every day, all day, says Moss. Exactly. What happened to Julie Green? I think she's just sick. Grammy Love is in the building. How are you? And a big shout out to my sister, Crystal, who took my advice about getting people in your life to be registered to vote. And we got my dad ready. My sister got my mom ready. It's going to be awesome. Jeremy, I hope you got a good night's rest. I went to bed at 9 o'clock and woke up at 5:09. So, yeah, I got a great, great night rest. Feel rejuvenated, for sure. Do we know when next year for the Ark? Nope, next year. That's all we know right now. Jupoff says, wrong. Everything you do on Earth has consequences. You need to eat, but if you don't go out there and get your food, you're going to starve. Stop making irrational justifications. I don't know who you are talking to there, but I will not jump into the middle of a conversation. Pray a lot. It'll help you a lot, says John Poole. John, you're absolutely correct. You're absolutely correct. Oh, Julie has laryngitis. Oh, no. Lost her voice. Yes, definitely pray over her. JV says, I'm waiting to see the fallout of the elections before I make any decisions about travel, just on the safe side. You know what? Here's a good practice right here. Plan your life for a win. Don't plan your life for a loss. Don't plan your life for a what if. Plan your life for a win. Because everything on earth is temporary and nothing is promised except for God's promises. And he says, rely on me, have faith in me, wait on me, but live your life in joy. And thank God for things that haven't even come yet and plan your life for that. That's just a good rule of thought. Let's get rid of this account again. Bye-bye. The Rumble account. We had to get rid of them. Maybe I got rid of the wrong one. Oh, the troll is back. Yeah, we'll just keep getting rid of them. That's all. I have a hard time doing that, said Vita Rose. I know, but that's where faith comes in. And if we don't have faith and joy in what he's already done that we may not see yet, then that is a sin. We have to make sure 100% that we have full faith in God. So you probably saw my title today, How to MAGA, How to Make America Great Again. We're going to talk about that today, and you find it in 2 Chronicles. It's really amazing. Say, hello, Kelly. Good to see you. Voted early in Michigan yesterday. Good for you. Let's try not to worry about the election until next Tuesday. How about try not to worry about the election at all? Last night I was outside with my son, just having a conversation, nothing in particular, just standing outside, just hanging out. And I walked over to my truck and I saw, you know, the truck is all wrapped. And I walked over and I put my hand on the hood of the truck. And Jaden asked me, so what do you think? You think we got this? You think we're going to win? I said, Jaden, I put my trust in God. And I put my hand on the truck, on the hood of the truck. And at that moment, I just said, Lord, let your will be done. I, your humble servant, am here to do whatever you need me to do afterwards. Let your will be done today, tomorrow, and the next day. And that's really the only thing that you can do to feel at peace. W. Wilson said, Danny singing for Trump was beautiful. I know, Danny Gokey with his Make America Great Again hat on after he voted the other day. Really awesome to see. And by the way, I've been seeing a lot of pastors lately come out and do exactly what I said pastors need to be doing. I have seen video after video after video in the last week of pastors coming out and telling people to go vote according to God's commandments. Not who to vote for, but vote in accordance with God's commandments. Arthur Nettler, $5 donation. Y'all have a great day. Fight, fight, fight. I'm heading to the courthouse for county poll judge. There are three of us in the county offices. My first time ever working an election. God bless you, Arthur. You're doing a good job. You're doing a good job. Welcome back, Michelle Curl. Amen. Logan said, I've been sharing this show today. That's awesome. That's awesome. Okay. How to MAGA. Let's read the description, and then we'll get to prayer, and then we'll get to the show. Rise Up, episode number 460. Amen. Make America great again. MAGA. It's an amazing slogan. It's a great saying. And it's a powerful movement. What do we really mean when we say it, though? When you say make America great again, what are you talking about? I think at the surface level, you're talking about things that are discussed politically, right? Economy, border, jobs, inflation, stuff like that. And that's what I used to think too. But now, when I think of make America great again, I think of what the founding fathers built this country on. I think of the pillars that this country is resting on. A Judeo-Christian foundation. So when I think of make America great again, obviously the easy thing is, well, let's make America godly again. That's a great slogan. But digging deeper into that, what does that mean? Making America godly again. Do we force people to be godly again? My hat says, make America pray again. Do we make people pray again? No, you don't make anybody pray. Again, like I said in the beginning of today's show, that's a default setting. We should look deeper into the saying and not attribute it to Trump saving this nation. Amen? Making America great again has nothing to do with Trump saving the nation. Just like I cannot save your soul. A lot of people say, Jeremy, you brought me closer to God. I didn't do anything. God did it all. Thank you, Frank Johnson, for joining in live. God does everything. People are merely vessels. Yes, are they close to God? Yes, they're anointed. Yes, they're chosen. Yes, they're qualified because they were chosen, because they're a special individual who can withstand the arrows of Satan. But I don't save anyone. Trump isn't going to save this nation. God is the only person that can do that. Period. So when I look at make America great again, it translates to make America godly again, because you can't make America great again until you make America godly again. And you don't force people to be godly again. You bring God to them and you let God work. That is what we're going to talk about today. And you actually find it in the Bible. In the Old Testament. Andrew said, so handsome today. Love from northern Wisconsin. Wisconsin is such a beautiful state. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. 58 Dirt Rider said, Jeremy, I've been watching you since your hip-hop days and your patriotic sunglasses. Well, I'm glad you found your way to my morning show, Rise Up. At 11 o'clock is my two-hour Live from America show. And I'm thank you very much. I imagine you found your way here through Facebook. Now that I'm back there causing problems with Mark Zuckerberg. Jess says, you're right, Jeremy, preach it. Well, let's get to it. How about let's go to prayer, and then I'll show you in the Bible where it talks about how we make our nation great again. Okay? Man, do I need a haircut or what? That armor colostrum is really, look how full my head of hair is now. Thanks, Armor Colostrum. Nobody can do what you do. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord and Heavenly Father, today as we humble ourselves before the throne and repent of the sins that we commit, day in and day out. We pray and give thanks for the reduction of our desire to sin, for our progress with Jesus on our journey with Him on this very narrow path that, yes, we fall off of daily, but find our way back before too much damage is done. That is all glory to You, God. Strengthening our knowledge, our understanding, and giving us wisdom. There's no better blessing. Lord, we are sorry that we kill babies in our nation. We're sorry that we have idols in the form of money and power and popularity. Lord, we ask that everything that You give us that we can be trusted with, to use it as how You see fit. Lord, we thank You for the great justices on the Supreme Court who overturned Roe v. Wade, which was the beginning of our new relationship with You as a nation. We thank You for showing us favor. We thank You for protecting us from the arrows of the evil, demonic forces out there. And Lord, we ask and pray that anybody listening or hearing, seeing this message today, far and wide, that they understand that MAGA, Make America Great Again, cannot happen unless we make America godly again, cannot happen unless we understand that You are in control and You are the Savior of everything through Jesus Christ, through the blood of Your Son. We thank You for this knowledge. We thank You for this wisdom. We thank You for joy and peace in our hearts. In the name of Yeshua, Emmanuel, Jesus of Nazareth, we pray. Amen. USA Trump for Life says, God, please protect our help and help our children, Your children, from this evil. SL20 says, Lord, please give the enemy into You, unto You, on Your hand, into Your hand, excuse me. Amen. Kelly said, kill babies in our nation brought me to tears. Yeah, does me too. It does me too. We have 912 people watching Rise Up. If you guys could do me a favor, make sure that you smash that Rumble button. Please make sure you share on your Facebook pages, share on your Facebook groups, but more importantly, take the link and share to your church family, people that you fellowship with. That's going to be important. Today, I want to direct your attention, if you have your Bibles open, we're going to go to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, okay? It's in the Old Testament. You want to open up your Bibles. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And the title of the verses that we are going to read is, If My People Pray. And we're going to read from verse 11 all the way through verse 18. So one more time before I bring it up on the screen for you. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 11. Now, while you guys are going there, I'm going to read from Living the 66 Books of the Bibles, and we're going to read 2 Chronicles from here before we get to the actual verse. The word temple occurs nearly 50 times in 2 Chronicles, and for a good reason. The entire book revolves around God dwelling among his people. Pause. Do you feel that God was dwelling in this nation in 2020, 2019? I believe that God dwells everywhere. But do you believe that he was fully dwelling, embracing, showing himself, helping everyone, focusing on this nation the way he did in prior years, or all the way back to when this nation was founded? I got to tell you, as a person who became a Christian in 2016 and has broadened my knowledge and my wisdom in Jesus, looking back on it, I see Jesus everywhere. I see God everywhere. But that doesn't mean I see God's favor everywhere. Now, you remember we had a show the other day where I said, God dwells in the darkness. Obviously, he dwells in this nation, even in its dark times. But is he showing it favor, or is he punishing? I believe in 2019, 2020, even 2018, I believe we were seeing punishment, and I don't believe we were seeing favor. But I do believe that God was present, because he always is. We are not yet Sodom and Gomorrah. There are millions of people who pray sincerely to Jesus daily in this nation. We are far from Sodom and Gomorrah. Let's continue here. When Solomon built the temple, the glory of the Lord filled it, and God's presence indwelled the Holy of Holies. When we read about the fire coming down and filling the sanctuary, it reminds us of how the Holy Spirit later descended on the day of Pentecost, filling each believer in Acts. The Apostle Paul later told us, quote, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own?" Think of that. How glorious. How glorious it is that we don't have to build a temple to be close to God. How glorious is it that our body is the temple in which the Holy Spirit, that's been given to us as a blessing from God, dwells inside of. The same presence that resided in the heart of Solomon's Jerusalem has a different address now, with a different zip code. He resides within you. He resides within me. In these last days, we are his temple. We are his home. Not the borders of land. Not from sea to shining sea, the physical borders of state by state by state, but the people within those borders. That is where God dwells. What happens in the temple? Glorious worship. The blowing of trumpets, the singing of praises, the joy of fellowship with the Almighty. The proclamation of the good news that God lives among us. We have an obligation to keep our bodies and spirits as healthy as possible and to use them as wisely as we can. We are to be the holy temple. Think about that. No medical scan will detect him, but the Holy Spirit is within your body as truly as he dwelt within Solomon's temple. We are to praise him and to exalt his name together. That is how we make America great again. Collectively. Adding to our numbers. Adding to the voices that are praising God silently and aloud. Adding to the numbers of people who worship God as the Creator, the Savior, the Sovereign Lord over all things. That is how we make America great again. Let's go ahead and pull up the verses of the day today. If my people pray, just want to stop for a minute. Grammy Love says, Jeremy, remember when Biden won and everyone was saying that we will have no more America after 4 years? And you told us, yes, we will, because God still lives. I do remember that. I remember that like it was yesterday. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house. All that Solomon had planned to do in the house of the Lord and in his own house, he successfully accomplished. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon in the night and said to him, quote, I have heard your prayers and I have chosen this place for myself as the house of sacrifice. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain or command the locusts to devour the land or send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear them from heaven. And I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Ladies and gentlemen, in 2018, 2019, leading up to 2020, some would say that God shut up the heavens so that there was no rain. Some could argue that God commanded the locusts to devour our land. Look at the corrupt people in our country. Look at the blasphemers that mention the name of God in one sentence while blaspheming, showing greed and idolatry and ruining people's lives as soon as the cameras go off. Look at the southern border. Look at the people that have come over that border illegally. And God believes in nations. If he didn't, then the word nation would not be in the Old and the New Testament, folks. We were being punished. God allowed people to overrun our borders. God allowed people to take over our land. God allowed the locusts to devour our land. God shut up the heavens and allowed disaster after disaster to cripple our farmland and destroy our coasts. And sent pestilence among the people. But when we overturned Roe v. Wade, that was a turning point for this nation that most people will never understand. When they look back at this point in history, 100 years from today, God willing, and they look at what two different roads we had, what two different paths we had, and they praise the road we took as being what saved America. I wonder if they will mention Roe v. Wade. Or if they will just talk about it in a political sense. Because it's not a political sense that turned God's gaze back towards this nation known as America. Built on Judeo-Christian values. No. The real deep meaning The real reason will be the overturning of Roe v. Wade and the people that God used to accomplish that. Why? Because children are the biggest blessing that God gives to us. And if we have, as a nation, agree on a federal level that it's okay to dismember, rip apart babies, kill them, and sell their body parts, that's fine. You think God is going to bless this nation? He might dwell here, but he's not showing favor here. That was a pivotal moment for us. And I remember I took a lot of heat from a lot of people on Live from America when I was talking about abortion every day. I remember the hundreds of messages that I was getting, both in the live chat and in social media and emails and text messages, smoke signals, ravens were being sent my way. Jeremy, can you please stop talking about abortion every single day? No, I won't. I didn't. And I'm glad I didn't. Because I knew that there was no reason to have Life from America any longer if we did not overturn that mistake. 50 years plus, we allowed babies to be tortured and murdered in this country at a federal level. And while it's not illegal yet, which it should be, it's a step in the right direction. It is a promise to God that we seek Him. I would have never, ever stopped talking about that. I would have stopped doing Live from America altogether if we failed that. And all you have to do is watch What is Treason, Trafficked and Invaded, and you'll feel exactly why I stayed the course. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear them from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now, not then, not always, not forever, now. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer that is made in this place. That means that prayer was being ignored by God in this country. Not because of you. You individually might have been doing everything that God has always hoped that mankind would do. But as a nation, God was ignoring prayer. As a nation, God was not answering prayer. And it says it right there. Now, it doesn't say America, and it doesn't say abortion. But the Bible is a living document. Things that happened then are happening now. The way God dealt with things then is the same way that God is dealing with things right now. For now I have chosen and consecrated this house that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will be there for all time because we seek His righteousness, folks. And as for you, if you will walk before me as David your father walked, obviously this is to Solomon, doing according to all that I have commanded you and keeping my statutes and my rules, then I will establish your royal throne as I have covenanted with David your father, saying, you shall not lack a man to rule Israel. A man to rule. What are we dealing with right now? The choice between a man and a woman. Not to say anything about that in a broader scale about men and women, but speaking to that as a very specific situation that we find ourselves in right now. There's only two people running, a man and a woman. I do not feel in 2019, in 2018, in 2020, in 2017, I did not feel the way I feel today about God's involvement in our nation. I didn't feel it. I feel it strong today. Very strong. 2016, I was nervous as all get out. 2020, I was nervous and all get out. 2022, I was nervous as all get out. 2024, I don't have a worry in my body. Why is that? Because I am listening to the Lord, I am seeking the Lord, and the Lord is speaking back. Now, yesterday. So, to conclude the message today, before we get to videos, what is MAGA? MAGA is the Ten Commandments. MAGA is seeking the Lord. MAGA is seeking Jesus, spreading the gospel, sharing Jesus' teaching. MAGA is patience. MAGA is not worrying. MAGA is faith. MAGA is heavenly wisdom and asking for it. MAGA is putting others above yourself. MAGA is sacrificing for other people around you. You want to know what Make America Great Again means? That's what it means. That's what it means. And the closer we get to that, the closer we will see the Lord's favor on this nation once again. Ladies and gentlemen, Ray Comfort.
Jehovah's Witnesses trust in their works to save them, and like all works righteousness religions, they do this because they don't see sin in its true light. Like the Jews of old, they go about to establish their own righteousness, being ignorant of the righteousness which is of God. This is Joshua. As you'll see, he's very self-righteous. So it was an uphill battle for me to get him to acknowledge his sins. I didn't get into a doctrinal argument with him over the deity of Jesus. I find that gets me nowhere because Jehovah's Witnesses have their own twisted version of the scriptures. The Bible tells us that it's the gospel that's the power of God to salvation. So he needed to hear the biblical gospel preceded by the moral law to bring the knowledge of sin. Let's see how this goes. Do you ever read the Bible?
I do.
What happens when people die according to the Bible?
Their soul dies as well.
They cease to exist.
They cease to exist.
Are you Jehovah's Witness?
Yeah.
I'm going to give you a scenario. There's a knife in my back. I've got 3 minutes to live. I'm dying. I'm scared of going to hell because I've done things that are morally wrong. I've looked at women with lust and committed adultery in my heart according to Jesus. I've lied and stolen. I've blasphemed God's name. And I'm scared of going to hell. I believe in God, but I'm still terrified. I've got 2 minutes to live. How can I enter the kingdom?
God is the only one who can read our heart.
That's what I'm scared of.
Yeah, and he decides whether or not we can live forever or cease to exist.
So what are you telling me to do? What can I do to enter the kingdom? Please help me. I've got 1 minute to live.
Pray?
I'm praying. I'm praying because I'm scared. I'm terrified of going to hell. I've read in the Bible, all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. I've read the words of Jesus where he said, "Fear not him who has power to kill your body and afterwards do no more, but fear him who has power to kill your body and destroy your soul in hell." I'm terrified. I've got 30 seconds. What can I do to enter the kingdom?
I can't tell you what I don't know.
Remember the thief on the cross?
Mm-hmm.
Begins by telling us that he blasphemed the name of Jesus.
Yeah,
he reviled him, and then he changed his mind after time, and he said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he also said, that we're here justly. He said that to the other thief. We're here justly. We deserve to be here. We're thieves. No, we're under God's wrath for violating the commandments, so we deserve to be here. So he was sorry for his sins, and then he turned to Jesus and said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And then Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Mm-hmm. So he was saved not by anything he did, because he couldn't go anywhere, couldn't do anything, couldn't go door to door or do good works, because he was nailed to a cross. All he could do was turn to Jesus. That's how you enter the kingdom. Turn to Jesus. Put your trust in him. Now, Joshua, do you think you're a good person?
By my standards, yeah.
When did you last look at pornography?
I try not to.
How many lies do you think you've told in your life?
A handful.
So what do you call someone who tells lies?
A liar.
So what are you?
A liar.
Have you ever taken anything that belongs to another person in your whole life?
No.
So you've never taken anything that belongs to another person?
Nope.
Have you ever used God's name in vain?
No.
Ever looked at a woman with lust?
No.
You homosexual?
Nope.
Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
Probably with admiration, saying, wow, she's beautiful, or that, but probably not with lust.
We tend to trivialize sin and say, I'm a good person, but Jesus said there's none good but God. The Bible says if wrath abides on us, and we're enemies of God in our mind through wicked works. That's what the Bible says. We all have a multitude of sins. Mm-hmm. And if all those sins come out in Judgment Day, you're going to be guilty and you'll end up in hell. And I don't want that to happen to you. The Bible says all liars live their part in the lake of fire. So what can you do to avoid the damnation of hell?
I don't believe in hell.
Do you respect Jesus?
Yeah.
He spoke more of hell than he did of heaven. So hell is a reality. Have you ever heard the Bible verse, the wages of sin is death?
The wages of sin is death? No.
Yeah. It's Romans 6:23, and it's saying that God is paying you in death for your sins. Like a judge who looks at a criminal who says, I don't believe in prisons and I'm a good person, but he's committed murder. The judge says, I'm going to show you how serious your crime is. I'm giving you the death sentence. This is your wages. This is what you've earned. And Joshua, sin is so serious to a holy God, he's given you the death sentence. You're on death row. And your death will be evidence to you that God is deadly serious about sin. And after death, the judgment. And I love you. I don't want you to end up in the lake of fire, but the Bible says that will happen. Do you know what the greatest sin of Israel was? It was idolatry. Mm-hmm. They created a god to suit their sins. And they bowed down and worshipped a dumb idol.
The calf.
A golden calf. We can tend to do that in our minds. We create a God that has no anger against sin, no sense of justice or righteousness. Mm-hmm. But if God is good, there must be a hell. We're human beings. We're evil by nature, the Bible says, and yet we set up court systems. And we'll chase a man to the ends of the earth if he's committed murder to make sure that justice is done. How much more will God? Jesus warned, every idle word a man speaks, he'll give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. If you get anger without cause, Jesus said, you're in danger of judgment. And even though God is just and holy, he's rich in mercy, and he sent a Savior to die for our sins. And when Jesus was on that cross, he took the punishment for the sin of the world. Joshua, it's as simple as this, and if you can get a grip of this, it'll change everything for you. The Ten Commandments are called the moral law. You and I broke the law. Jesus paid the fine. That's what happened on that cross. That's why he said, it is finished, just before he died. If you're in court and you've got speeding fines and you plead guilty, a judge will let you go if someone pays your fine. He'll say, you're out of here. You can leave, even though you're guilty. And it's legal. Well, God can legally dismiss our case, take death off us because of what Jesus did on the cross and paying our fine in full. And then he rose from the dead, defeated death. And if you'll simply repent of your sins, and you'll never do that while you think you're a good person, well, you deny sin in your own heart. You'll never repent. And you put your trust in Jesus, like you trust a parachute. God promises, and he cannot lie, he'll grant you everlasting life as a free gift, not because you're good, but because he's good and kind and rich in mercy. And the Bible says you can know that you pass from death to life. That's what it says in the book of John. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that has the Son has life. These things have I written to you that you might know you have everlasting life.
So can I ask you a question? To really understand what the Bible says, you had to take all of it into context. To refer to the Ten Commandments, you also have to refer to what Jesus said. He abolished the Ten Commandments and set new rules.
Mm-hmm. What did he mean when he said, not one jot nor tittle of the law shall fail? Not one tiny period, not one comma shall fail. And that law will judge us on Judgment Day. Romans 2 verse 12 says, as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. James 2:12 says, will be judged by the perfect law of liberty. Those Ten Commandments will judge you. And when Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount and he expounded that law, he said, if you look at a woman with lust, you commit adultery. If you hate your brother, you commit murder. You violate that law in spirit. And every time you sin, you store up God's wrath. His wrath abides on you. Romans 2 says that. Every time you sin, you store up his wrath, his just wrath. And I'm trying to say to you, it's as simple as this, Joshua. Just repent and trust in Jesus. That's all. Not your goodness, but just trust in Jesus. Because I want to see you in heaven. And if your eyes and my eyes meet on Judgment Day and you're still in your sins because you chose your own way rather than the gospel, I'm free from your blood because I'm telling you the truth. So examine the earnestness of my tone. I'm saying this because I love you and I know what I'm saying is true. Eternal life is a free gift. You can't earn it by doing anything. Just receive it. Just trust in Jesus. Please think about it with a sense of urgency because you don't know when you're going to die.
It is urgent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I give you a book I've written called Scientific Facts in the Bible?
Sure.
That's really kind of you. Jehovah's Witnesses usually don't take literature, so I'm very grateful.
Gotta love Ray. Like, Ray opens so many people's eyes. You know what the greatest videos that Ray does is when he interviews the people that he spoke to a year ago or months ago or 2 weeks ago. And they say, ever since I've spoken to you, I've had a revelation and an experience with Jesus, and I have to thank you for that. Amazing stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, we have about 5 minutes to play more of Nicholas Bowling's courage yesterday, preaching at America's largest gay pride parade festival.
So they can know him and know his love, and then even begin to desire him and love him in return.
Come on, we just started the video. I can't wait until YouTube is an ancient thing of the past and Rumble takes completely over. Here we go.
Jesus, he's the only one who earned eternal life. He's the only one who deserved it by his perfect life. That's why the Bible calls him righteous, because he did everything right. And you see, Jesus, he's the only one who can offer the gift of righteousness, which means he's the only one who can wash you and cleanse you. He's the only one who can forgive your sins. He's the only one who can give you that gift that he earned with his own life, because he's the only one who had it out of people who were on the earth. Please don't touch it. That's the flashlight. Please don't. Don't touch the equipment.
How do I turn it off?
Well,
can we get them to
you're not going
to
be able to turn it off. Listen, God loves you and he cares about you. And that's the reason I'm using the speaker, because he wants you to know it. He wants you to know that he loves you and he cares about you, and he sent his son Jesus.
Please, how do I turn it off?
He sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for you.
How do I turn it off?
Demons hate the name of Jesus. And she's got a cross on her
neck. He sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for you so you can come to know him. Listen, this is the very truth that can set you free. This is the very truth that can give you eternal life. This is the very truth that when you stand before the King of Kings on Judgment Day, you can hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," rather than, "Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness," or "you who have done evil." You see, Jesus, he's a righteous judge. And each and every person who stands before him and doesn't put their trust in him, each and every person, you're going to have to answer for how you lived your life. And it's kind of like this. Some people, even I used to think, you love Jesus?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. He loves you. Do you live for Jesus?
Every once in a while.
Every once in a while. Yeah. But if you truly believe that he's your king, then you would submit to him each and every day. And you would truly live for his will for you rather than doing your own thing.
Well,
what?
Doesn't God say to like love everyone?
Yeah, he does. He loves you. That's why he sent Jesus to die on the cross for you, so that you could be forgiven of your sins, and so you can come to know him, and so you can be with him for all of eternity. Because the reality is, God's real and he loves you and he cares about you and he wants to be with you forever.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, and that's why
he loves giving.
That's why Jesus, he does love, but the sin separates us from him. And that's why Jesus, he went about and he called people to turn away from the sin and to turn to him and to put their trust in him for dying for their sins, being resurrected from the dead, and then for you to be saved from the sin, from the death, from the wrath that's being stored up because of this sin. He desires for you to know him and to love him and to be with him. So the Bible says this, it says, even after coming to the knowledge of the truth, if you willfully continue in sin, there no longer remains a sacrifice for your sins, but a fearful expectation of a fiery punishment. So even though people call him Lord, even though people call themselves Christians, even though people go to church and they read the Bible and they pray, they might even fast, even though people do those things, if they're still willfully sinning, if they're still doing things that they know are wrong, then the Bible says that they're still going to have the outcome of those sins, because Jesus, he came and he said things like, go and sin no more.
Your shoes are f***ing ugly.
Oh my God. Well, thank you so much. God bless you. Hope you have a wonderful rest of your night.
She had a Planned Parenthood bag
on. So Jesus, he came and he said things like, go and sin no more, which is actually amazing news, because it means that we can be free from sin. We don't have to stay a slave of sin, because sin is the devil's will. The devil has sinned from the beginning. He's the father of lies. He's the one who is tempting many people to sin. So when we give in to Satan, when we give in to the temptations, the tempter, we're actually taking after him. And that's why Jesus called certain people children of the devil.
You know what I like about this new way of open-air preaching is that it's not fire and brimstone preaching. It's actually preaching the way Jesus would have preached. And I love that. Now, before we end the show today, I'd like to say a prayer. And this prayer is for Chris, who had a heart attack. And when I saw it in the chat, I got down on my knee right here, and I prayed while the video was playing. But let's pray together. Lord and Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray that this heart attack that Chris had will not cause any further complications. He will heal from this 100% in the name of Jesus. And that if he needs to change any way of his living to help prevent against stuff like this in the future, that you give him that knowledge, that wisdom, and the will to do it. We thank you for saving his life. That means he's got more to do here on earth. And this may be a message. We are listening, and we thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Mike Crispy Unafraid starts right now here on LFA TV, followed by 2 hours of Live from America with yours truly. I hope to see you all there. And welcome back to anybody who lost the show long ago. God bless you guys. And remember, there's only one way to make America great again. Have a good day. See you later. Hearing you, I find shelter, captivated by the splendor.